a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. This is Manna.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Manna, a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. I'm your host, Jeff Peterson. Now, none of the guys that you're going to meet on this podcast would consider themselves to be extraordinary, but it's their humble, holy way of living. That's exactly what makes them extra to me, and I am excited for you to meet them. So, listeners of Manna, and if you're hearing this, you're one of them, and thank you for being one of them. You have often heard me quip that God does nothing in vain, but I don't know if I've ever shared where I picked up that little quip. It's actually from St. John Henry Newman of Newman Center fame, a name for all you former college-attending Catholics. He was the name on all those churches that you saw, or all those centers that you went to, or allegedly went to on Sundays. Anyway, it comes from Saint Newman, in which he wrote that, quote, "God has created me to do him some definite service. He has committed some work to me, which he has not committed to another. He has not created me for naught. He does nothing in vain." So that's where the little "he does nothing in vain" comes from. And I did a lot of paraphrasing there. If anybody wants to actually find that actual long quote, it's beautiful. And there's a lot of other words in there. But I share that today because it is reflective of today's guest. Who has contemporized that notion into his work and into his book titled Produce on Purpose, in which he contends that we were not created here to just be actors in this little play called life. And we're certainly not the director. That's God's already in that chair. But that we are all called to be producers within it toward a life of realizing not only our fulfilled creativity and potential, but of being in service to others in their pursuit of that as well. Our guest knows of what he writes as an ordained minister, as an altruistic leader, an in-demand speaker, an adjunct college faculty, a consultant, and a respected advisor in and out of the workplace. I mean, this guy has a day job too, everybody. And we are very honored to have him on the big show here. So please welcome today's Manna man, Mr. Randy Adkins. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Jeff. Thank you for having me on. I am so excited to really share some of this great information. And, you know, being a man of faith is really something to be proud of. And I'm glad that you're having me on.
Well, we are so glad and honored to have you here. And I can't wait to talk about this book. I love the premise of it. The design of the book is cool too. So everybody, before I forget, you can find this book on Amazon.com or you can go to produce at randyadkinsjr.com to read all about it and then get a copy and read the book. But dude, you're, like I said in your intro, you've got a day job. You've been in corporate consulting in information systems for years. And yeah. So I guess I just kind of want to start with, you know, when did it hit you to, where did the inspiration for the book come from? And how did it come out in the form of a book amidst an already very busy life that you've been living these last few years?
Yeah. So the inspiration for this book was, it had been something that I've been wanting to do for many, many years, to be able to share information, because I had heard from many that as an ordained minister would come to me and say, "I just wake up in the morning and I'm not happy with my life. I'm not excited about my days." And I know in the Word of God that there are scriptures that help us to be able to live a more joyful life and to be more excited about how we can kind of attack this day and everything that's going on. So instead of us living externally, that we could really live from the internal that God provides for us. And so that's where the inspiration came from. And the timing of this was when I had a little more time than I typically would. And that was around September of 2020, which was we were in the pandemic. And my wife was like, you said you wanted to write a book. We're going to go to the coffee shop and I want you to go ahead and put an outline together. So cool. I did. And I put the outline together, but I did not know that writing the book was going to be a journey. It did end up being a 3-year journey of writing the book itself, because I thought I was done within a year. And I found out that I really needed to do more editing. And as I kind of learned more about what I was supposed to be doing and what God was revealing to me, the book that I started out with is not the book that we have today and ended up with, and the inspirations that came. So I always encourage everyone, you know, regardless of where you start, of course, it always can be a creative process to where you actually end up. So that's where the inspiration came from. And I want to see everybody just live a joyful, fulfilling, exciting life. And the book has those kinds of keys and practical applications within it with stories that I share throughout.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And in the practicality, I'm glad you brought that up, because it is for those that now go and get this book. You know, there's not only the stuff that you read, but then you've got pages in the book, literally, for people to as a workbook almost to you know, really get out their own, you know, pens and pencils and make it applicable to their lives. How much of the way you constructed the book? So obviously, as an ordained minister, you had some, you know, theological training, some background there, but then just as a man of the world, you know, you're also living a life, I would guess, of some pretty solid moral kind of grounding or direction. How did, when you were writing it, and again, with this very practical sort of mindset in place, how much of it do you feel like you were drawing on sort of the spiritual, you know, I don't want to say spiritual and secular, but how much of it, what was the balance like, you know, in terms of the bringing in the divinity stuff that you knew and could probably, you know, reference a lot of scripture and just bring in, you know, all the Jesus stuff, if you will, versus just the real practical everyday things that people can be doing to really identify their purpose and live it out.
Yeah. So of course, in being theologically trained, and if you've ever done anything related to that, I like exposition of scripture. So part of what you may see portions of in the book is a portion where there is scripture as a foundation, and then pulling out of great, you know, information and interpretation from that. But then additionally, some stories that directly come from my life that are applicable in each of the chapters that's there. And then practical application is as important. So it hopefully there is a full balance between the spirit and any knowledge that can come from to help with illustrations, and additionally, that practical application, so that we always have a foundation to go back to that is based on the truth. And that's what I wanted to make sure that the book had, was if you didn't get anything else, that you could go back to scripture and reference that, and even get revelation of your own as you are going through. And that's why every chapter has at the end the ability for you to do self-reflection, for you to find out, what did this really tell me? What was the growth purposes of it? And be able to do that. So that's a great question, because I tried to put a balance within there, and also multiple themes throughout the book, from whether it's wearing masks, or if it is talking about you being a producer, if it's releasing that in your life and being able to fully live the way that God intended for us to live, which is within our purpose, and making sure that our gifting is being used at the fullest capability.
Yeah, no, I love that. And again, just the practical application of it. I think we all go through phases, or are, you know, we're all seeking, meaning and what our role really is, what we're designed to do. And I just think it's great to have that kind of a tool. I would imagine you've gotten good feedback, great feedback on the book overall. Has there been a difference in the feedback that you're getting between men and women? You know, this podcast is kind of all about talking to guys about, you know, being more comfortable in their faith and being more comfortable expressing it and living it out. Has there been any difference between guys and gals reading and putting the principles of the book in action?
I would say some of the, maybe some of the differences that I've gotten feedback on is many of the men like the practical applications at the end of hey, this is, I've tried doing this and this has helped me to actually get some of the doing portions of it. I've heard also the stories from men that they can relate to some of the stories and relate to how that affects them and has been a part of their lives. And women have told me it's been inspirational to them and that it has inspired them. So I've had a kind of a balance there, but the men seem to truly like the practical application and the stories that go with them.
That's great. That's great. So let's dial it back if we can. Let's go way, way back in the Randy Atkins machine here. Back to childhood, growing up. I mean, so an ordained minister, so presumably, you know, maybe you grew up with faith in the household. Tell us what it was like growing up as a kid and the role that faith played, or maybe if it was later in life, when did faith start, you know, kind of getting, I'm going to go with this book metaphor here, getting written into your own personal narrative?
Started off as a young boy. My mom would take us to church. My grandfather was actually the pastor of our church. And, you know, that was very curious at around the age of 11 of what did faith really mean? I think I finally was like, okay, kind of want to understand what this means. And I remember going to a vacation Bible school and saying, you know, to the teacher, I really think I want to know this Jesus and have him as my savior in my life. And from there, that's where I went to a revival that we had at our church. And I was wanting, you know, to have Jesus in my heart. And I said, I want it. And it really didn't happen until after the revival. Sometime it was a Saturday. I was in my room by myself, kneeling down, praying to God and saying, I want you to lead me in my life at the age of 11. And I felt the hand of God in that room that day come down and touch me and say, you are my child. And I knew at that moment that I had a relationship with him. I will share, of course, that being 11, that was very young to accept Christ into your life. So I did what I could and learned scriptures. And maybe through those teenage years, I probably didn't do the best that I could. But, you know, you figure it out along the way. And or somewhere after my wife and I ended up meeting each other in college is when I really, you know, focused on making sure that I wanted my walk to be with God and she wanted it to be the same way in our marriage. And as we later on had children, we wanted that to be a forefront of our lives. So it has been that way for me. And I've just been grateful throughout the entire journey. A lot of learning throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, but boy, what a gift to have that, because that is what our faith is. It's just a gift we can't earn it. We can't even will it upon ourselves. It's just a gift. But what a gift to have that at such a young age. Who were some of the, we talk a lot about role models here on the show, and especially men who are formative in our faith development. Who were some, when you look back on those early days, who are some of the guys in your life that you can remember, whether they were teachers or relatives or, you know, maybe the guys that you interacted with on a day-to-day basis?
I would say, of course, my grandfather being the pastor was one of them. Yeah. You know, we would be at his house all the time. And so I got to see at church, I got to see at home and how he interacted and the moral values, the things that he often had to deal with. And then I also had an uncle that really was one of the ones that I would teach and share information in a very palatable way, a way that was digestible for a young child at the time. And I really enjoyed those moments being able to sit with him and have him share those information. And he seemed to be excited about sharing that with me. So that those were probably some of the two that I can think of that really put a fire of faith in me that said, hey, you probably want to have this Jesus in your life and make sure that you have a relationship with him.
Yeah, that's great. You know, one of the other things that we talk a lot about on the show with guests is the development of the confidence in speaking about, you know, our relationship with Jesus, the role that faith plays in our lives as you know, husbands and brothers and sons, and not just hinting at it or sort of alluding to it, but owning it, you know, and being proud of it and you know, attributing it to what it is, which is, again, just it's a gift that we receive. And has your confidence in speaking boldly and helping others speak boldly about Christ, about their faith, has it increased even more from the days of, you know, being surrounded by good role models, going to the seminary, or is that something that you've really never had an issue with, or has that grown over time?
It has definitely grown over time, and it's been a journey. I would say the some of the key elements that have helped me along the way to be more confident of sharing the information about Jesus, about my faith, has been number one, understanding the word and understanding the scriptures that are there. But the key item that has helped me is being able to relate those scriptures to our daily lives. And the more I've been able to apply that to an experience that I've had or a relationship that I've been in, it has helped me to be able to communicate that in multiple ways. I've learned that, of course, in the English language that we have, the you know, metaphors and stories can sometimes convey these truths, just like Jesus did with parables, in a way that really helps everyone, that's more palatable to maybe someone who doesn't want to hear thou, thus, then, you know, they want to hear, you know, how can this actually help me in my day to day? And I have been focused on that and my experiences, and every day is a learning experience. And it's been more, you become more comfortable of sharing how does this affect me and how does it change me? And why does my faith play a role in how I show up at work? How does it play a role how I show up at home? How does it play a role how I show up with others and other organizations? And it's been fantastic because I even get to share my faith even at work, you know, at, you know, being a corporate consultant and doing software, you can share it, but you don't have to share it in a way like I do on a pulpit. And it's very good for me. And I also do Toastmasters. So I've been able to combine these items to be able to communicate in a different way that doesn't sometimes feel overbearing to someone who may not understand or have read the scripture, but will allow it to be able to be a hook for them to say, hey, I want to learn more about that.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. No, it's kind of like how Paul said, you know, I'm all things to all, to the Jews, I'm a Jew, to the Gentiles, I speak as a Gentile, I'm all things to all people, yes, all in service of Christ. That's just fantastic. I love it. So one last question here before we get to our little fun segment that we close with, but a great book, very practical, accessible book, Produce on Purpose. If you were to read your own book, Randy, okay, so pretend you actually picked that up off the shelf by some guy named Randy Atkins. You go through it. Do you know your purpose? Like, are you still, it seems like you found it. But do you feel like you're still on that journey, or are you in it, and are you producing, as you're designed to produce?
I'm still, of course, on a journey, but I have found some key treasures and elements along the way about me. And in the book, I describe purposes in two ways. One is your general purpose. And I explain that general purpose being the general purpose to please your creator. I call him God. And that if his name in the book of the Bible says that God is love, then my expression and everything that I do will be expressing love in what I do as my general purpose. And that's across the board for anyone that is serving their creator who created them. But the second portion of purpose that I talk about is a specific purpose. And all of us have at least one of the specific purposes in your life. And that's where I talk about gifting. And the gifting that God has provided for me is he's provided me a gift of being able to communicate and to be able to teach. Sometimes it's very complex items, especially if I'm doing something in the technical arena, and breaking it down to where it is something that can be digestible by anyone at any time, whether I'm using metaphors, stories, different ages or whatever, to be able to share that information, make it clear for that audience or that person that's listening. That's what he's provided to me. That's only one of the specific purposes. I have many, many more that he has shown me throughout the process. And I'm still being revealed of more. When I wrote this book, I wouldn't call myself creative. I would have called myself analytical. But my creator has told me, no, you are a creator as well.
Exactly. And I'm like, right.
I had never really done anything like that. And so I am discovering every single day. And part of what the book does is saying, hey, go out and try and discover this. Yeah. You connect with God, you find your vision, you start moving down a path and understanding, what God has already put within you. And then you will find your purpose as well. So I'm still learning, but I have found good portions in it. It makes me more fulfilling, more joyful every day that I wake up, that I am actually fulfilling that purpose or sharing that information. In the book, I do have one story. My brother, he was 19 years old. He was in a fatal car accident, and I couldn't really get over that for a while. But my mom, she ended up 6 months later reading a letter that said, he's told me all about me in that letter that said, you have done these things in my life and you have done this. And all the time that he was alive, I didn't think I was getting to him. I didn't think I was sharing information that was there for him. But that letter 6 months later changed my perspective and actually drew me closer to God and let me know whatever I do, that I should share the message with someone, because I don't know the impact that message may be having on them at any moment in time. And so that's what drives me. And that's the passion that I have. So whether I'm speaking, writing, or sharing a story with someone or having a conversation like we are, I am excited to be able to do that, because I don't know what that impact may be, but I know there is an impact when I share what he has put within me.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Well, I love that. And I love how you talk about, having the purpose, the highest order of purpose is of love and of being in relationship with God. And then after that, it's a series of just discovering and uncovering and being open to where the multiple purposes, there's not just one thing, we're all gifted with various, charisms and such, but the whole point of being in relationship and being in a relationship of love is that we continue to be open to what those new things are, you know? And like you say, you never fancied yourself necessarily as a, as an author with a book, and, but here you are, and you're making such a great impact. So I just love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Well, we have got to get to the, the aforementioned fun segment of the big show here, where we ask the same three questions of every guest. And they're just as the segment suggests, it's just for fun. Okay. So, fun segment question number one. If Jesus knocked on your door tomorrow morning and, just wanted to hang out with you for the day, okay, you got a whole day, just you and Jesus, you can do anything you want, go anywhere you want. How are you going to spend your time with Jesus?
Hey, I'm going to welcome him with open arms, and I'm going to say, hey, let's go, and I'll show you some of the great things that I have today. I will go to a coffee shop, and I'll say, hey, I like chai tea lattes. You got to try this. Let's have a conversation. And I would just talk and ask him questions in that coffee shop. But and then I would be like, okay, I really do. We live on the beach. I got to take you by the beach and say, hey, man, I know you've done some sermons on a beach and on the wayside. Can you can we just talk about that for a moment and the blessings of what's there? And I probably would hang out in the beach. And then I also like the mountains. So we would have to find a way to get to the mountains as well. And just kind of spend some time and just have a conversation. And I know just spending time with him as we do even in prayer, that it would just be a fantastic time of just an uplifting time and being able to just share, hey, this has been my experience. Now, can you tell me a little bit about yours?
Yeah, that's great. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Start with coffee for sure. Get to the shop. All right. Fun segment question number two. Mm-hmm. If you could go to church with any other guy, living or dead, famous or not, you can know him or not, doesn't matter. Just the only rules are you're going to go to church and you're going to go with another guy. Who are you going to bring?
I would try to connect with President Obama. I really think that he would have some insights. I would want to understand what he felt and how he feels about his faith. And so it would be a portion there that I would bring him and say, hey, let's go out and hang out and see how this feels.
That'd be great. Yeah, I think he could. And if it was like an open mic service, you know, he could probably get up there and you guys could have like a sermon battle, you know, he could go back and forth. He's what a great speaker though. Oh my word. I still have that memory of that. I can't remember if it was a funeral or what it was, but when he sang Amazing Grace, yes. My goodness.
It was a funeral. It was at the, you know, it was here in Charleston and we were there. We were in the building when he did that. Yeah. Which is pretty amazing.
What a memory.
Yes.
That's good for everybody. How what a blessing to be able to be there in the room. Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine.
Yes.
All right. Well, all right. So finally, fun segment question number three. If you could give just one piece of advice, and you can't just give them the whole book, by the way. So it's just one piece of advice that you would give a younger man. So think of like yourself back in, you know, 11, 12 years old. One piece of advice to that younger man about living, you know, this purpose-filled, you know, production-filled life, you know, a life of faith, a life of confidence, everything that you write about, everything that you talk about. What would that one piece of advice be?
The one piece of advice I would give is don't worry so much about the outside. And here's what I would give as an analogy. You can continue to be a thermometer and tell us what the outside temperature looks like, what all your problems are, all of the distractions that you have in your life, whether it's social media, things that are going on, or you can choose to be a thermostat. And if you're a thermostat, you get to choose the temperature in your life and how your life is. And if you find your purpose, you're going to be that thermostat. You are going to walk into rooms and you're going to be able to have that purpose change the atmosphere, change the temperature in anything that you do. And so when you show up in life, when you wake up in the morning, you are a thermostat, not just a thermometer. Thermometers only tell me problems, but thermostats solve the problems and give me solutions. So you have the ability to do that every single day, every day that you get up, every day that you wake up, you can be that thermostat and not just that thermometer.
Oh, I love that. I've never heard that. I'm totally using that, dude. That's awesome. I love that thermometer, thermostat. Perfect. All right. Well, hey, Randy Adkins, thank you so much for being here. All right, everybody, just a reminder, the book is called Produce on Purpose. You can get it Amazon. You can get it also through Randy's website, which is produce@randyadkinsjr.com. Thanks again for being here. Thanks for everything you're doing and what you're inspiring in men and women out there to live their purpose-filled, their lives that they're designed for. So thanks again.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Manna. If you have any questions or recommendations for future guests, send them to mannapodcast@gmail.com.